going to start with page 139, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, this morning I want to talk to us about living a purposeful life. Living a purposeful life. Over the next few Sundays, we're going to talk about this subject, and basically the subject of living the extraordinary life that God has given you. And God's given each of us a life to live, a life that can be lived abundantly, with all the grace, with all the love of God in it. God has given us the life that we have. He's allowed us to be alive, and there are great things that He wants to do in our lives and obviously through our lives. And we're going to talk this morning about living a purposeful life. All right, a purposeful life. Psalm 139, look at, if you would, verses 1 through 18 to start with. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that You bless our time together. As always, Father, I want You to open up the hearts and minds of the children in junior church, helping them to understand the Bible lesson, to have fun with the craft games, whatever they're doing. And Father, thank You for speaking to their hearts during the Sunday school hour as well as they were being taught the Word of God and being pointed to Christ. Lord, it truly is the right answer and the right thing to say that Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to every problem in life. The world is seeking for peace. He's the Prince of Peace. The people are seeking for something in their life, something to fill the void that's in their life, and they're trying to fill that void with everything the world has to offer, and yet they're coming up empty-handed, and they're still coming up with broken hearts. They're still coming up, Lord, with things that are just unanswered. They don't have the answer because the world doesn't have the answer, but Christ, Jesus Christ, has the answer. And the only reason why Christ has the answer is because He's given us the life that we have. He's allowed us to be born, to be alive in the time that we're in for such a purpose that You have for us. And I pray, Father, that You would help each of us, no matter what our age. We'll never get to an age where You no longer have a purpose for us. Whether, Father, we're 10 years old or 80 years old, there is a purpose that You have for us, and Father, we need to seek that purpose each and every day, knowing, Father, that we're here for a reason, and we're here for such a time as this. And I pray, Father, You would. Please open up our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to hear from You. I pray, Lord, give us ears to hear, a heart that will receive, not only receive what You're telling us, But Father, help us to surrender our life to it and to really allow ourselves to follow your will for our life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is so true that God has a purpose for every single person, not just in this sanctuary this morning, but around the world, no matter where you may be at, God has a purpose for your life. And it starts with knowing, again, everyone wants to know, you know, what's their purpose in life? You know, what should they be doing? And, you know, there are things, there are dreams that maybe we're chasing. And it may be that God is leading you to do something and you're seeking after that. But then there are those that just don't know what their purpose are. They don't know what their purpose is. And you think we live in an anti-Christ society. We live in an anti-Christ world. And unfortunately, there are kids that have to go to public schools that are being taught a lie. They're being taught things that are not true. And one of those things is, again, if you ever find yourself not knowing who you are, just go to the Bible, and the Bible will tell you exactly who you are. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 1, because this is one lie that's being taught in society, is being taught, promoted in public schools, but even through social media, through the news media, through music, every avenue that it can be promoted and can be taught, it will be, because it's a lie of the devil, and he's the god of this world. He wants to keep the blind blind, and he wants to desensitize others. And again, there are many that are struggling with their life, struggling with what is their purpose in life. And this morning, you may already know what your purpose is. And there may be somebody in your life that's struggling with their purpose. If they can't find a purpose, the adversary will help them to quickly make the decision to end their life, because there is no purpose for them living. And God's the giver of life, and God decides when it's time that our life is over. There is an appointed time unto death, and God is the keeper of that time, and God has a purpose for you. Again, even before I read Genesis, I'm always thinking about the life of Job and how God allowed tragedy to come into Job's life, not because he had sinned against God and done anything wrong. In fact, God testifies of Job that he was an upright man who eschewed evil. He prayed, he had a walk with God, he had a relationship with God. Yet God allowed tragedy in his life so that Job could experience the grace of God, the power of God in his life, and that the devil, obviously, as the devil, you know, came to God, the devil would see that, you know what? You're not going to tell God to do anything that's outside of his will and outside of God's character of being faithful, gracious, merciful, and holy. But Job experienced the grace of God, and Job got to a point in his life where he thought, you know what? I can't handle it anymore, and he wanted life to end. You know what? You'll see that many times in Scripture where people got to the end of their rope, and they wanted God just to take their life. God, it's enough, just end my life now. And God wouldn't, because God had a purpose for them. Though they thought they were at the end of their rope, yet they weren't at the end of the rope. They were in the middle of God's grace. But again, there are many today, many young people today, and I am assured as well, older people that are struggling with their purpose in life, struggling with who they are. And all they hear from society is who they need to be, what they need to do in life to be different. And it's causing a lot of minds to be tainted, a lot of hearts to be grieved, and a lot of lives to be lost. But if you want to start off by living a purposeful life, you got to find out, well, who are you? What did God create you to be? And we find it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The first step into finding out what God's purpose is for your life is to understand who you are and that is male or female, man or woman. God did not create, God did not give life to a man or a woman for them to come to a point where they think that they are the opposite sex. I was born a man, but I really think I'm a woman. Because then you're saying that God makes mistakes. You're saying that God doesn't know what he's doing, though God's the one that formed man out of the dust of the ground. And I start off with this because, again, there are those that are struggling with who they are because of everything they're hearing, everything they're being taught, everything that they're being told that is unbiblical, that is against God. God created you. God made you who you are. If you're a man, a boy, that's who you are. If you're a woman or a girl, that's who you are. God, excuse me, God is the one that gave you the life that you have. He gave you the gender that you have. He makes no mistakes. Now, at some point in your life, will you get tired of your gender because of things that you experience? Sure. But it does not mean that God's made a mistake. He made you who you are for a purpose in your life. There's a purpose God has for you based off of who you are and what he's doing in your life. So again, when you think about Psalm 139 and verse 14, go back there if you would. I apologize for my voice. It just, it constantly wants to go out. But Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hand of God. Again, as we talked about Hannah in Sunday school, again, God opens the womb of a woman and closes the womb of a woman. And God has placed inside of every woman the desire to have children. Now that desire obviously can be, it can be quenched by events in life that have happened, by choosing not to want to have children. But God's placed certain desires within us that are natural desires and want us to have children. They are a heritage of the Lord. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God obviously, I mean again, as I think about it, I mean, when you go to an ultrasound and you look at a child being formed in the womb, it's just amazing to be able to look on that screen as they're running that wand over that stomach of your wife and just seeing your child in that womb from just a wee little pea, little peanut, and just watching it grow in the womb and just, man, that just, it really blows your mind. I mean, if you see that, there's no way that you can believe in evolution because you see something that's so miraculous. As a child being formed in the womb, you're like, how in the world does that happen? Something that goes from microscopic to in some cases, 6 feet, 3 inches tall, 250 pounds. How does that happen? I mean, it's the hand of God. I mean, God creating life. And God giving life and God allowing someone to grow in their life, not just physically, but God desires for us to grow spiritually in our relationship with him. But listen, I know for a fact there are many that are struggling today because of the lies of society in this world on who they are, trying to change who people are and trying to get people to think contrary to truth. God made man and woman, two genders, that's it. It's cut, it's dry, just two genders, male and female. And God has a purpose. He has a general purpose, and then he has a singular purpose of each and every one of us that he wants to accomplish in our life. And I want you to think about just the two general purposes that God has created man and woman for. Number one, glorifying God. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Somebody that really wants to know what God's purpose is for their life, well, he has a general purpose for your life, and that is to glorify him because he's given you your life. He's given me my life, and he wants us to glorify him with our life. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. God has created all things. Evolution is a lie. There's no proof for evolution. You know what? If evolution was true, I wish I was still evolving, because it would do me great to have multiple arms and hands to be able to get more accomplished. It would do me great. I'm sure it would do my wife a benefit to have more hands to be able to do things, you know, and most everybody understands, because, right? Because there's just things that we have to do that, you know, if I had more help, and sometimes you just don't have more help. Listen, I say it because, listen, the Bible's true. There is one God who created life, sustains life, and keeps everything going. And he loved the world so much. He loves people so much that obviously he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world so that every single person could have the gift of salvation, could have an eternal home in heaven with him. All they have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that, you know what? When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. It was finished. The sin debt was paid for. There's nothing I have to do for salvation except trust what he did. Listen, but he has a purpose. Even after salvation, he has a purpose for his people. Because if he didn't, he would just take us home and that would be it. But he leaves us here because there is a purpose, and the first general purpose is to glorify God, who has created all things. Again, he says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Your general purpose in life is to glorify God because he's given you your life. Are there things in your life you're not happy with? Absolutely. There's things in my life I'm not happy with, but I can still glorify God that he's given me a life to live. That, you know what? He's allowed things in my life that even though I don't agree with and I'm upset with at different times, and yes, like you, I go to God and say, "God, can you please change it? Can you just take this away? Can you just allow me to just have a life with no problems?" But then he reminds me, if you have a life with no problems, then you'll never see a need to cry out to me. You'll never see a need to come to me and pour your heart out to me like Hannah did about her desire of wanting to have a son, being grieved in her heart, being by her adversary, being picked on every day to the point where she fretted. But then Hannah came to the Lord and poured her heart out to the Lord. And once she did that, fully trusting that everything was in God's hands, the Bible says that she walked away with her countenance never being sad again. She was no longer sad because her focus was now on her Creator, the one who gave her her life. And God did a great wonder in Hannah's life, just as he has done a great work in your life. I hope that every single person can recognize that God has already done great things in your life. And he wants to do more great things, but it's impossible to please him if we don't come to him with faith. Remember, Jesus could not do many mighty miracles in the hometown of Nazareth because of their unbelief. Though he was already healing, he was already cleansing lepers, he was already causing the dumb to speak, the lame to walk. He was already doing miracles, but when it came to those that just could not trust him, they didn't see very many mighty miracles. In fact, many of them didn't experience anything in their life. And guess what? Because of unbelief and because of God not being able to work in unbelief, your adversary, my adversary, will be there quickly to say, "See, God's not real. Society must be telling the truth because God's just not doing anything in your life." And yet it's because of our unbelief. It's because we're not trusting him. We're not coming to him. Again, I mean, it's just the simple truth of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And again, those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, living a purposeful life, a life that has meaning and purpose, a life that will keep us on the path that God has set before us, and will help us to finish the race that God wants us to finish in our lifetime. And it starts with glorifying God. Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed me to be alive so that I could come to trust Jesus Christ for salvation and to follow him the rest of my life, who will always be faithful to me, who will always tell me the truth, who will always lead me in the right way, who will always comfort me, who will always settle my heart when I start to become anxious about things. He'll remind me of the truth of his word, that I can stand upon the promises of God's word. It starts with glorifying God. Well, how do I glorify God? By thanking him. I mean, as a parent, I love it when my children say thank you for when I give them something. And if they don't say it and they start to walk away, I say, wait a minute, what do you say? And I love hearing my little girl, Brooklyn, say it, thank you. I mean, she just says it in a way that's like, say it again, right? Because it's cute. But listen, how we glorify God is simply thanking him for what he's done in our life and what he is doing. And sometimes just thanking God for who he is. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's merciful. My purpose and your purpose, first general purpose, is to glorify God because he's given us a wonderful life to live. The second general purpose for you and for me is to enjoy God. Look at Psalm 16, if you would. Psalm chapter 16, to enjoy God. You realize God wants you to enjoy him? Now, we enjoy lots of things in life. We enjoy lots of relationships. I enjoy the relationship with my children. I enjoy the relationship with my wife. I enjoy the relationships I have with some of you, getting to know you, praying for you, and vice versa. I mean, just we have relationships we enjoy, but God's created us not only to glorify him, but to enjoy him. In Psalm chapter 16, look at verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Again, God's got a purpose and he has a path he wants you to walk in this life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now we all love joy. We all love to be joyous and happy. We love things to be perfect in life. And it is perfect in the presence of God. Think about the joy. Again, many are struggling with joy. They're struggling with depression. They're struggling with anxiety. They're struggling with fear. And then God says, in my presence is fullness of joy. Because when you're in the presence of God, when your focus is on God, you see God like Ezekiel saw him, high and lifted up on his throne. You see that God is your life. He sustains your life. I mean, whatever your need is. Remember, Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I mean, he is your Savior. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I mean, he's the one that you know is always there for you. There's something about having joy as you walk with the Lord. There's something about having the joy of the Lord. Now, we all do it at times. We seek joy through some other avenue. We seek joy through some other person, some other recreation. We're just wanting to relax because it's been a hard day. It's been a hard week. I mean, life can just take its toll on you. And the human mindset is to, well, let's just go do something fun. Let's just, as some will say, let's just let our hair down and just, you know, just let anything happen. And that's just not joy. That's not an everlasting joy. That's not a joy that settles the heart. That's not a joy that encourages your spirit. That's not a joy that will help you to continue enduring life no matter what the storms may bring, because you have Christ as your master. You know, those disciples in the back of that boat during that one storm were frantically bailing out water in their own strength, trying to do what they could. They were experienced sailors. They were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee, yet they were in a storm that they had never been in before. And there are storms that we will encounter in our life that we've never been in before. And we will, it's just human nature, we'll think about other storms we've been in, what happened, what we did that maybe helped us. And we'll try to do that again to no avail, like these disciples did. And they were got so frustrated. They were so fearful and so frustrated. They turned to Christ, who was in the boat with them, and said, "Carest thou not?" There is nobody who cares for you and me more than Jesus Christ. But he's the number one person that's always questioned whether or not he cares and loves. And yes, he does. Because if he did not, he would have not manifested his love at Calvary when he laid down his life for you and me, willingly allowing himself to be scourged, to be mocked, to be crucified, because it was God manifesting his love. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Remember, Jesus said, I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Living a purposeful life starts with knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing, well, what did God create me for? He created you and me to glorify him and to enjoy him. But then there are some benefits to discovering God's unique purpose for your life. Why don't you take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, this is going to be several Sundays. Today is just an introductory to the topic of living a purposeful life, finding your purpose in Christ for the life that God's given you. Again, it does not mean that you'll never have any problems. It does not mean at times you won't make mistakes and make decisions that you regret. But what it means is you have somebody you can always rely upon, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the ability and the availability to go to him at any given moment in your life and ask for wisdom, to ask for direction, to ask for help, to ask for comfort, but it's up to us to choose to do that. He's always ready. He's always available for us. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Time is short. You know that life is but a vapor. You know that you only have a certain amount of years. We don't know how many years each of us have. We hope that we'll live to a certain age, and maybe you have an age in your mind that you hope the Lord will let you live to. But we just don't know, because there is an appointed time. Everybody has an appointed time, but each day is a time to redeem. Each day is a day to live and to allow God to work in our life and allow God to accomplish his purpose in our life that truly does bring blessings into our life and helps us to grow closer to the Lord and helps us to have the wisdom of God that we need and the discernment of God each and every day. Again, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, there are three benefits to discovering God's purpose, God's will for your life. Again, we already know two general purposes for every single person is to glorify God and to enjoy God while they live their life, while you're living your life. Glorify God. That'll be a right perspective, a right focus. And then you can enjoy the things of God because you have that right focus that, you know what? God's put me here to glorify him, to enjoy him. And he also has a certain thing he wants me to do. He's got a certain purpose he wants me to do. But again, three benefits to discovering God's purpose for your life. And the first one is knowing your purpose clarifies priorities. Knowing God's purpose in your life clarifies the priorities in your life. Some of us may have our priorities totally out of sync and not in the right order. And you can answer the question yourself, within yourself, is God first in your life? Because when you know your purpose in life, you'll know that priority number one is God. I cannot live this life without God directing me, guiding me, helping me, giving the wisdom, the discernment I need. I mean, God should be number one. He should be preeminent in our life, and he will be when we understand that he's given us this life. He's allowed me to be alive during this season, during this time, for a purpose, for a reason. So when you know God's purpose for your life, it helps to clarify the priorities in your life. What is most important? Second, third, and so forth. The second benefit to knowing God's purpose in your life, or discovering God's purpose, is knowing that God's purpose for you clarifies uncertainties. It clarifies uncertainties. A lot of people have uncertainties in their life. They're not sure what's going to happen. And many people are uncertain of what's going to happen when they die. But when you find out that Jesus Christ is the giver of life, when you find out that Jesus Christ died at Calvary for mine and your sins, and you find out that Jesus rose from the tomb 3 days later because death could not keep him, because he's life. He's the giver of life. When you find out what your purpose is in Christ, it clarifies uncertainties, that God has certainties in your life, that you know where you're going to spend eternity, and that God has a race for you to run, as Paul told Timothy, I've finished my course. The course that God gave Paul. He finished it faithfully because God helped him along that road. And again, I mean, I just think of Paul, and I think sometimes we think some of the men and women in Scripture, they just don't know what it's like to have a tough life. They just don't know what it's like to face what we face in the time that we're living in. No, they don't know what it's like to face the internet, social media, different things that we're facing. But they had it just as rough in their era. I mean, you think about trying to live for the Lord during a time where there was no laws to protect your freedom. When, you know what, as you went from city to city as Paul did, just trying to tell people about the love of Christ and how they can have eternal life, and some people would believe and others would not, and they would not believe to the point of hatred, and they would drag Paul out of Lystra, out of the city of Lystra, stone him, trying to kill him. Not because of any crime he committed, but simply because of the love he was trying to share, because of the person he was trying to tell people about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And such people filled with hatred and stoning and wanting him dead and assuming he was dead because his body lay there motionless. And they walked away, gloating in the fact they had gotten rid of him. And as his companions were standing there looking at him, as the Bible tells us, he gets up. He regains consciousness. He gets up, battered, bloody, bruised. And the Bible records he goes right back into the city and doesn't leave till the next day. How in the world can somebody who is mistreated like that, how could they consciously make a decision to go right back into the city where those people are that just tried killing him? Because of the grace of God in his heart. Because of God working in his heart. Because of God giving him a purpose. And him knowing that his purpose was to continue telling people about Christ. And what a testimony I bet that was when Paul walked back through those city gates, bloody, bruised, no doubt, I mean, he maybe limping some, you know, hanging on to his companions. They helped him back in the city. I mean, what testimony that must have been. But listen, when you know God's purpose in your life, it clarifies the uncertainties. You know for a certain that God wants you to do something and you're not going to stop doing it. Remember, Peter and John were told by the religious rulers, you stop teaching in that name. And they wouldn't do it. They knew their purpose was to teach and preach Jesus Christ, and they weren't going to stop. Not everyone's called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to be a Sunday school teacher. But everyone's called to a purpose that God's placed in your heart and in your life. You have to desire to want to know, what is God's purpose? I don't want to hear what society says. I want to know what God says. And number one, God says, I want you to glorify me. I want you to enjoy me. And as you're seeking me for your purpose, your priorities are going to be clarified. Your uncertainties in life are going to be clarified. Again, many are struggling with whether or not they should continue living. And once they realize their purpose in Jesus Christ, they will understand, I am to live. God's given me a life to live. And when my life needs to end, God will take my breath. God will bring me home to Him. But the third benefit of discovering God's purpose in your life is the fact that it clarifies the difficulties in your life. Why do we have difficulties in life? Again, it's not always because God is disciplining you. Again, someone that knows the truth and walks contrary to the truth, they're going to suffer the consequences. It's just, if we know the law is, I mean, you think about even just driving. What does the word yield mean? Just think about it, the word yield. Slow down, be cautious, and look. But these roundabouts on South Baldwin, I don't think anybody knows what the word yield means. As I was driving home yesterday, and I got to the roundabout, if you're familiar, got to the roundabout right there where Dollar General and Kroger is on South Baldwin. This car in front of me, he comes up, he slows, he starts to go, but I see a car to his left and my left before he even got to stop. So I'm thinking, that car's not stopping. And he sure didn't. He just zoomed right through. And thankfully, a car in front of me saw him and stopped. Why? Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody is focused on them. And the focus is everybody needs to stop and just let me through. Well, listen, thankfully, there was no car accident. But there have been car accidents at roundabouts because people aren't paying attention. People aren't yielding. Why is it that God puts up yield signs in our lives? Why is it that God even puts up roadblocks in our lives sometime? It's to keep us from danger. It's to keep us from harming ourselves. It's to keep us from doing things that are going to bring, not a blessing, but it's going to bring something detrimental in our life. It's going to cause some heartache. It's going to cause us to wish we had never made that decision. When you find out your purpose in life through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, you're going to be able to live life more easily as you go through the storms, as you go through difficulties, as you go through the onslaught of society. Because just as you're a child of God and just as someone newly comes to put their faith and trust in Christ, it doesn't take away all the problems of life. But I tell you what it does do. It gives us a friend in Jesus Christ who walks with us every day through the problems. I mean, again, one of my, I'll mention them till the day I die, but one of my favorite accounts in scriptures was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As their society was telling them, you need to bow to the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. And even King Nebuchadnezzar told these three, if you'll just bow, you'll just bow to our ways, then everything will be fine. You know what? Bowing to the ways of the world and bowing to the devil's way never makes everything fine in your life. Because you give him an inch, he doesn't want an inch. He wants the entire life. But those three were purposed in their hearts that they were not going to bow to the ways of the world. They were not going to bow to society. They could have kept themselves out of the fiery furnace if they would have just bowed. Nebuchadnezzar told them, if you'll just bow when you hear the music, bow to my golden statue, you'll be fine. But these three men knew their purpose. Their purpose was to glorify God, to enjoy God in their life, and to do the will of God in their life. And they answered the king, and you know the account, they said, we're not careful in answering you in this matter. They told him, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow to your golden statue. Our God, whom we serve, is not only able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but also out of your hands. Do you have that trust in God that God can do anything in your life for you? And guess what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, they were given the keys of the city. They were told they could pick any house to live in. They Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? No one's ever stood up to me like that. You guys are courageous. I'm going to let you go free. No, in fact, King Nebuchadnezzar, you know the account? He commanded the furnace to be heated up 10 times hotter. Because you know what? As we try to live godly and try to live like God wants us to, all those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. You're not always going to be persecuted by somebody, but just trials come. And God allows that. But those three got thrown in the fiery furnace anyway. A little tongue-tied. They got thrown in anyway for doing what was right, for standing up for what they believed in, for saying, you know what? No, we only serve God. God's given us this life to live and to live for Him and to glorify Him, and we're not gonna do this against God. And it got them in trouble anyway. But that's exactly where God wanted them. You realize, you ever read that account and realize that's where God wanted them? God wanted them in the fiery furnace. Because when Nebuchadnezzar looks in, he says, I see four men. We only threw three in, but he makes the statement, the fourth man is like the Son of God. Because listen, God is in every trial that you face. He wants to walk with you, to encourage you, to fill you with peace, to take away the anxiety that you may be experiencing, to help you see that, you know what? God is able to keep the flames from coming upon you. Because when those three came out, their clothes were not burned, their hair was not singed. And if you've ever had your hair singed by fire, you know what it's like, you know what it smells like. And you know what clothes do when fire catches on them. And yet, nothing happened to them, because their faith and trust was in God, just as your faith and trust is in Christ. Excuse me. Just as your faith and trust is in Christ, and when you have to walk through the fire, He's with you. And while you're walking through the fire, you can still glorify Him. You can still enjoy Him, enjoying His presence. Because again, as the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I can only imagine what it was like for those three men in the midst of the fire, just walking around. And some would say, that's impossible. No one can walk in fire and live. They can if God's with them. They can if the hand of God is upon them. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go out there and, you know, start a fire and walk through it. What I'm saying is it shows us in that moment of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life, God manifested Himself in a great way in their life, and others saw it. God's purpose is to manifest Himself in our lives so others see it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The good work is not always doing good. It's being faithful to God. It's trusting God. It's allowing God to have His way with you. Now, as we wrap this up, how do we discover God's purpose for our life? How do I discover what God's purpose is for my life? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. The first place we have to look to even start to find out what God's purpose is for my life is in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. You're not going to find God's purpose for you on social media or in the news or in some magazine. And I will say this, there are some good Christian material out there that you can read. But the most important should be the Word of God. Because all the books written out there are written by men and women who've read the Word of God, they've experienced God in their life, and they're sharing their experience. And that's good. You know what? I need to know how God works in someone's life. You know, I'm struggling with this. Well, what did God do for somebody else? Because, you know what? It's an encouragement to know that I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one with this struggle. I'm not the only one that's facing this difficulty. Others have faced it, and they're giving what God did for them. But the number one book is the Word of God. This is what God's given us. So you look at, again, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, the first thing to do when we want to discover God's purpose for our life is to search the Scriptures. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All the books that are written in this world by Christian authors are not inspired by God. Inspired by God means it's God's word that He gave to somebody to write down. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Even as it tells us in Scripture that what's been written down, yes, God used human instruments. He used men to write His word down, but it was God giving His word to them. I mean, you see that clearly just when you look at Jeremiah, and God tells Jeremiah, get a leaflet, get a pen. I want you to write these words down. And God tells him what to write down. He writes them down. He delivers that to the king who starts to read it, who gets angry at the word of God, takes a penknife, cuts it all up, throws it in the fire, says, okay, well, there goes that copy. There goes that original. And God tells Jeremiah, get another leaflet and write down the same words I told you. And he gives him some more stuff to write down. All right. Is it okay to read other books written by Christian authors? Yeah. I'll say this. As long as they have clear doctrine, as long as they are basing what they're writing on the clear truth of God's word. But again, that's man's writing. That's not God inspired. Okay? You want to know what God's purpose is for your life, get in God's word. And you'll find the purpose. Number one, He gave you life because He created male and female, only two genders. And then there are certain things that He created women for, certain things He created men for. Then there's the general purpose. He created all of us to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And then He's got purposes in your life that only you can fulfill. And it starts with the Word of God. We can't expect God to show us His will for our life if we're not willing to read His Word and to find out what God's purpose is. Because listen again to what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Because there are just things in our life that need to be corrected. There are things that we have been taught through society growing up that is contrary to Scripture. So as you read God's words, you're like, oh, okay, what I was told is not true because it's contrary to what God says. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has a purpose for your life and my life. And to find out that purpose, to find out even how to fulfill that purpose in our life is through the Word of God. But the second way that we can discover God's purpose in our life is to delight ourselves in God. Again, God created us to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And to find my purpose in Christ, I must delight myself in God and in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 5, 4 and 5 tell us, delight thyself also in the Lord. It's something only you can do. I can't be forced to do it. I have to choose to do it. But you know what? As you start to read God's word and understand God's purpose and that God actually has you here for a purpose, you start to delight yourself in the word of God that, you know what, I want to know more. You start to delight yourself in the things of God and what God loves. Delight thyself in the Lord, or also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Because you know what, as you and I are delighting ourselves in God, the desires of our heart are truly His desires that He's placed in our heart. As we get closer to the Lord, as we get to know the Lord more through His word and understanding what His purpose is for me here and how He wants to use me in the desires of my heart is, Lord, I want to fulfill Your will for my life. Lord, I want to do what You have called me to do, and I want You to help me to have that ability. You're the desires in your heart. As you get to delight yourself in the Lord, you get to know the Lord more, are truly His desires that He's placed within your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
You know what? As you commit yourself to the Lord, you commit your ways to the Lord, you're delighting yourself in the Lord. You're wanting God to do great things in your life. And you're wanting to follow the ways of the Lord, knowing that at the end of God's path is blessings. Sure, there's trials along the way that God allows, because again, he's always working on us. And he's always wanting to strengthen our faith and to purge out sin in our life, whether it's unbelief, whether it's, you know, we have just different sins that we're struggling with, the sins and the weights. I mean, he's working on us, but he wants us to delight ourselves in him. As you do, you find out what God's purpose is, that God has some desires that he's placed in your heart that he wants to help you to fulfill. The third way to discover your unique purpose, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is while you're spending quantity, not quality, but quantity time, or I should back up, I said it wrong, quality time, as you're spending quality time in the Word of God, and you're finding yourself delighting in God because you just can't get enough of the relationship with God and how God's speaking to you, then you'll find out, you'll recognize what God's gifts and abilities are that he's given you that he wants to use in your life. Every single one of us, again, doesn't matter what your age is, you have gifts and abilities that God wants to use. You're never too old to serve God. You're never too old for God to use you. In Romans chapter 12, we look at verses 4 through 8. God's given. Listen, I struggled with this for a long time in my life, you know, like not knowing what. Lord, I don't know any abilities I have. I don't know any gifts. And I struggled a long time trying to figure it out because it's like I would see other men, you know, just their ability to work on cars, and they would, after a service, they'd go outside because someone had car problems and they'd take off their suit coat and their tie, and they'd get under the car and help fix the car and get the person on the road. And it's like, man, that's it. Well, that's an ability, and that's a gift because God gave them the gift to learn how to do that, and now they're using it to serve God by serving others. I mean, just different things that people do. Some people have the gift of baking. And man, they just love to bake, and they bake things, and they take it to people. You know what? That's an encouragement for someone to come into your house and give you some baked good, especially if it's pecan pie or it's rhubarb pie like I like. It's like, man, this is a blessing. This totally makes my day worth living. I mean, just God has abilities and he has gifts for each and every one of us, but the problem is we often are looking at someone else's ability and someone else's gift and going, boy, they've got the gift I want. And they're missing out on what God's given them. In Romans chapter 12, look at verse 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, speaking of the body of Christ, and all of God's people being members in the body of Christ, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same responsibilities, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We're all in the body of Christ, we're all members of the body of Christ, but we're all connected to one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, understanding that, listen, the worst thing to do as you're trying to find God's purpose in your life, the worst thing to do is to compare yourself among yourselves, to compare yourself with somebody else. Well, because unfortunately, I mean, that happens in the world. Just, oh, you know, they don't have the pimples that I have. You know, this is a teenager, just the peer pressure and just even looking and, you know, as you're growing and just, you know, as your body's growing. Some people's ears stick out more because they haven't grown into them. But what happens? It causes that child, it causes that person to think, God made a mistake. Why didn't God make me like that person? They're perfect. And listen, one of the things I hated in high school every year was when they would do the yearly school book, the annual. And in that book, you always had pictures of those that were voted the best beautiful, the best handsome, the one to most likely succeed based on their looks. Because you know what? No one knows the future. And unfortunately and sadly, many of those ended up not succeeding, not doing what they were voted for. And guess what it did to everybody else? Those that were already struggling with themselves caused them to think worse of themselves. Well, I can never be like that person. Totally missing that God created them the way they are for a reason and a purpose. You know what? A child who has Down syndrome is not a mistake. That's God's gift. Any child that's born with a birth defect is God's gift. God obviously thinks that parent is going to be a good parent and can raise that child and love that child. Sometimes we forget. You'll be thankful that you don't have some birth defect like that. If you can't find anything to be thankful, Lord, thank you. You've created me the way I am for a purpose. And you know what? I want to find that video and I want to show it one Sunday. That little girl that has the Down syndrome, I forget if she was 11 or 10, singing that song. I forget what the song was. But, I mean, just sang it perfectly, beautifully. And while she was singing, you couldn't even tell she had Down syndrome. Listen, God's created each of us for a purpose. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. We've got to find out what those are. And you can find out, and I can find out, by getting in God's Word, getting closer to God, asking God, Lord, even asking Him, if you know what your gifts and abilities are, even asking God, how can I use this to glorify you? How can I use this so others are benefited? So others see a reason of the hope that lies within me that they would even want to know the God that I serve. You and I both have a testimony. Your testimony is different than my testimony. But when you think about the gifts and the abilities God's given them, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. That's talking about speaking of the things of God. It's not talking about telling the future, telling people about the Word of God, the promises, as we sang that song, standing on the promises of God's Word. According to the proportion of faith or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That's serving other people. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Some have the ability just to take anything and be able to teach the truth out of it. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Barnabas is known as the son of consolation. Barnabas was good at exhorting people. And he exhorted the brethren to trust that Paul had really met Christ on the road to Damascus, and he had put his faith in Christ and his life had been changed. He once was a murderer, condemning Christians, jailing Christians, killing Christians. But when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, his life was turned right side up. And Christ came into his life and transformed him in a drastic, miraculous way. Your gift may just be encouraging people, exhorting people. Because you have the ability to see past the facade. Because you know what? When you ask people, how you doing? What does people always say? I'm doing great. And they may not be doing great because nobody wants to know. Nobody wants other people to know that they're struggling, especially, you know, if there's somebody, I'll say, prominent in a church. I mean, there's just some people you expect, you know, they don't have any problems. And really, they do have problems. But you may have the ability and the gift to come along and encourage them and to be able to see past that. It's not that you're, you know, it's not that you're being a busybody. God's given you the ability to see that, you know what, something's wrong. And to even pray for that person and say, you know what, I love you. I can tell something's wrong. You don't have to tell me what it is, but I'm going to pray for you. You know what that does? It lets that person know that, you know what, someone actually notices me. Someone actually cares. Because some people have the mindset they're struggling with isolation because they think nobody cares. They think, you know, no one knows the hurt that's going on in their heart, in their life, and no one cares. And that's the lie from the devil. Because the devil, again, wants to destroy life. He's the thief that cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And God has given each of us a gift to be able to help one another, to be able to encourage one another, to be able to help someone get their eyes back on Christ, and to even see, you know what? Though I may not understand, because I don't understand everything everybody goes through, and neither do you, but we're able to encourage whoever that there is someone who does understand. There's somebody who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And he's the very one that gives us victory in those trials and in those tribulations that we're going through. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he goes on to say, our ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, that speaks of administration. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Again, recognize, allow yourself to find out, you know, what is my purpose? I know that God has me here for a reason. Don't focus on what's wrong in your life. Again, we all have difficulties in our life. We all have things that we wish were different that you can't change. Only God can change it. Let your focus be on God, who has you here for a reason. Get into the Word of God. This is God's love letter, as many call it, to you. If God didn't want us to know His purpose for our life, He would not have written it down. He would not have given us the Bible. If God didn't want you to know Him more personally, He would not have said, come unto me. Jesus would not have said, follow me. He would not have come to you with the gift of salvation and convicted your heart and my heart of a need of putting our faith and trust in Christ if He did not care, if He did not have a reason or a purpose for our life. Find yourself delighting yourself in God, in the ways of the Lord. And lastly, you and I have to yield ourselves if we truly want to know what God's purpose is. Listen, again, we're all at different stages in life. Some of our spouses have passed on. Some of our marriages are not what they should be. Some of us are not married. Some of us are young. I mean, we're just all in different stages of life. God still has a purpose for you. God still has a reason why you're still here. And you and I have to yield ourselves to the leading of God. Go to Romans chapter 12. We'll end with this. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It's not enough to know, okay, I need to read the Bible. I need to delight myself in God. I need to recognize, okay, what are my abilities? What is it I can do that God's allowed me to do that I can use to help other people? But none of that matters, and none of that will help if we don't yield ourselves to God's leading in our life. And God wants to lead us every day. Again, remember, He's the one that has given you life. His very breath is what keeps us alive. Because the Bible tells us if He takes His breath away, we're done. There's no more living. And He's given us His breath, but you and I have to yield ourselves to God's leading. Romans 12, look at verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what that means? Lord, here am I. Have your way with me. Lord, I want you to be in full control of my life. Lord, I want you to direct my steps. I want you to control my thoughts. I want you to guide me down the right path. Because, Lord, I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to choose different avenues other than the path that you've set before me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's every single person's reasonable service, is to say, Lord, here am I because I belong to you. The life you've given me, I only have it because you gave it to me. The gift of salvation that I have, I only have it because you gave it to me. There's nothing I have that I've gotten on my own. Now, if I were to sit and think through my human brain, I would think, well, no, because You know, I try to keep myself healthy so I can go to work and get a paycheck and pay the bills, so I can go to sleep and get up and go to work and get a paycheck to pay the bills. It's just a cycle. But honestly, God's the one that allows us to do what we do. God's given us the life that we have. I learned a long time ago that there's more to life than just a 15-hour-a-day job. As I spent the first several years of my young life just working 15 hours a day, 6 days a week. Now, I'll be honest, where I work right now, those hours have gotten up to 10 hours a day now. Used to. When I first went to the job that I work at, and I'll leave it nameless, just because I'm not supposed to mention things, but I think most everybody in here knows where I work outside of church. I first took the job because it was only 3 to 4 hours a day. I could get insurance through the company, even though it was a part-time job. But now, just recently, with the last couple of months, where the hours have spiked, I work a minimum of 10 hours a day at this other job. And I've been praying, telling, Lord, I can't do this. This is where I used to be. This is taking time away from the ministry. This is taking time away from my family. And Lord, I know that's not your will for me to work all these hours, because His will is for me to raise my family and to serve in the ministry. I know that's my purpose right now in my life. So there's things that I gotta ask the Lord, how do I cut this out? How do we change this? Because the company's not going to change. The company's going to continue to grow. The hours are continuing to stay long. So there's things in our life that when you're seeking God's will and purpose in your life, He's going to show you things that have to change, things you got to cut out that necessarily are not wrong, but they're hindering you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life. Be not conformed to this world, He says in verse 2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes our thinking has to be changed. Sometimes we think, well, I have to do this. I have to have this. I just have to. And our thinking has to change, because nothing is absolute. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And obviously, it does entail having an abundance of life, having a life that's full of joy, a life that's full of a relationship with God, a life that's full of blessings. Yeah, there's trials. But again, when He allows us to go into the fire, into some fiery trial, guess what? He's the one that's leading us into it, because there's something great He wants to do, and there's something great that's going to be accomplished in it. And when we come out of that fiery trial, come out of that testing, out of that storm, I mean, there are great things that God wants to do. And it helps us to realize, you know what? God didn't bring me here to kill me. God brought me here to show Himself great and mighty in my life, and to show me that He's got a purpose for my life. Again, living a purposeful life. If nobody has the desire to do that, then you're not going to have a purposeful life. You're going to continue to just squander in the what ifs and why am I here? But if you truly desire what is God's purpose for my life, and you seek Him wholeheartedly, and you say, Lord, I want to know what Your will is. What do You want me to do in my life right now? Right now, in the stage of life I'm in, what do You want me to do? And God will show you, because God's got a purpose. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for the life that You give. And thank You, Father, for the life that we can enjoy walking with You and getting to know You more and getting to know it through Scripture. Lord, just how You do interact with Your people and how You move in the lives of Your people. And Father, obviously we see through Scripture men and women who have had their struggles in life living in this sin-cursed world. Yet this world was created by You, not the sin that runs so rampant in this world. But Lord, You created a world for us to enjoy. And Lord, we can still enjoy the life You've given, regardless of what's going on in society, regardless of what society and the world is teaching and calling good evil and evil good. Lord, we can still enjoy a relationship with a holy God who has allowed us to come into his presence, who has cleansed us and washed us from our sin, who has robed us in the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, we can cry out, Abba, Father, because we have that child-father relationship with you. And Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage hearts today. I pray that you would convict hearts today and help us, Father, to truly yield ourselves and say, Lord, here am I. I had some dreams and some ambitions that I wanted to do, but Lord, what do you want me to do? And Father, we thank you that you do have a purpose for our life, but the ultimate purpose in everything we do is to bring glory and honor to you and to walk with you. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. As the piano begins to play, I give you a few moments alone in prayer.